You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 1st of October 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, I'm back in the studio at last. I had a lovely week off last week, and it's actually Max Musson is having a week off this week. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next Monday. I do hope you enjoyed the content, the pre-recorded content that we had for you last week. An interview with Bishop Williamson, an interview with Mike Whitby, and a series on the world's first white nationalist, John H. Van Evry. If you haven't heard those, I do recommend people check them out. The two interviews, obviously, they were British-focused, but the world's first white nationalist, he was American. But today, we're going to get back into what's going on in Britain, since this is Aryan Britannia. And the first story I've got for you today is a bit of a running theme that we've been covering this year. And this is these demands for more diversity on the British television. Apparently, white people and heterosexuals are underrepresented in the British television industry. Who would have guessed that? An Ofcom audit has found this out, but the watchdog is still insisting that there is much more to do on diversity. And just as an aside from this, I actually watch soap operas. I watch one soap opera, in actual fact. I watch EastEnders. And the storyline at the moment, one of the characters has just been sent to prison. Now, this soap opera takes place in London, in the middle of London, and the whole prison is white. All the prisoners are white. There's one black screw in there. Now, we know that in the London prisons, they're about 60, 70% non-white, full of Muslims. And yet this seems to be the only prison in the whole of Britain that is all white. The prison gang are white. The stabbing that took place a couple of weeks back on the soap opera, that was carried out by a young white lad stabbing a brown lad. And it's the total opposite of reality. And this is anti-white, the same as they say that making characterizations of Jews, that's anti-Semitic. Well, what they're doing here with this soap opera is they're claiming that only white people are criminals. All the criminals in London are actually white. The criminal gangs are white. It is anti-white. It's the same as what Ofcom audit has found, that the actual television companies themselves are anti-white. And they are not representing white people as they should be represented in the British television industry for their percentage of the population. But it's not just that. They are also portraying white people as the bad guys. They portray the Negroes as professors and doctors and lawyers. And the white people, well, they're just thieves and muggers and murderers and rapists and all the terrible things you can think of. That's how white people are represented in the British television industry. It's like where they tried to do a history series. The BBC did a children's history series, and they looked back in time when Britain was under a Roman occupation, and the centurions were black. Hadrian's Wall was built by a Negro, and the only white character in it was a pickpocket. He was a thief. That's the sort of representation that white people have on the British television. Now, this Ofcom audit, it's found that white people are underrepresented. So has it said, well, we need to have more white people on the television? Of course it hasn't. They said there's much more to do on diversity. The report came a couple of days after Ofcom declared increasing representation of minority groups was a priority for the regulator, warning that broadcasters would face disaster if they didn't make diversity central to their work. Well, why is that? Why is it a priority to replace all the white people with non-whites? I mean, this can't be because they want to actually have the same percentage of them working in television as there are a percentage of them in the population, because there's already far more of them. There's already far more of them working in television than there are percentage in the population. What is this disaster that's going to happen if we don't replace all the white people? Is it because they think it's going to appeal to more people to have minority groups on there? Well, clearly that's not the case. If non-whites make up only 15% of the population, and 30% of the people on the television are already non-white, then you're only appealing to 15% of the population. You're not actually appealing to the other 85%. So the disaster isn't going to be that people aren't going to watch television. And I don't think people watch television just because they want to see a reflection. The television is not supposed to be a mirror, is it? It's supposed to have drama and education on there. Infotainment. I think the BBC's actual remit is to educate, inform, and entertain. That's something that we try to do here at Radio Aryan, since the BBC doesn't do it anymore. All the BBC does is try to propagandize white people into making way for non-whites. I mean, they are admitting this here. Ofcom are admitting this here, that it's a priority to replace white people with non-white. Ofcom's content policy director, Jackie Hughes, said, if you are not constantly working on replacing white people with non-whites, then you are not only suggesting some people are invisible, but you are missing a chance to engage with them. It's not suggesting that people are invisible. It's just suggesting that certain members of the population aren't actually very good at acting. Certain members of the population don't even speak English. Are we going to have a pigeon channel? We already have BBC News Pigeon, which is written in baby English for Negroes to read. That's if they are actually capable of reading, which I doubt most of the people that it's actually aimed at are even capable of reading on the BBC News site. Audiences, especially young people, are used to seeing race and religious and sexual diversity as the norm, she told an event in Westminster. That's this Jackie Hughes, Ofcom's content policy director, claiming British broadcasters would be unable to compete with global streaming services such as Netflix without making representation of LGBT people and ethnic minorities a major focus. Well, what is it that they are actually competing with Netflix for? Is this a competition to see how many Negroes you can cram into the picture? Is that the competition that's going on? Or is it actually a competition to see who can get the most viewers? Because if it's a competition to see who can get the most viewers, then surely it's whoever's going to have the best content, whoever is going to have the best dramas, I would suggest, and the best special effects, not whoever has the most amount of sodomites on there or who has the most amount of pygmies or bushmen on there. And how far are we going to take this? How many, we have so many different types of human being. I'm loath to actually refer to some of them as humane beings, but that seems to be the classification. We have so many different types of person that's here in Britain. Do they want to put all of them on the screen at one time? And how realistic is that? How realistic is it to have Negroes popping up in plays from the Middle Ages, or dramas about the fall of Troy or King Arthur, and then Robin Hood, and you see a big fat Negro Friar Tuck? It's absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. In fact, that brings to mind something that I actually saw while I was away on my holiday. I actually went to look at a few megalithic sites, and one of them was by a school. And right outside this school, in the middle of the countryside, where there are no Negroes, where it's 99% white, and you've got this old megalith there, and then it's got these pictures of these children there on the outside of it, and it's got a Negro. As if Negroes put these megaliths up, as if when you're going to look in these cromlechs, the remains in there are going to be of Negroes. No, they certainly weren't. They were of white people. They're just trying to shoehorn these people in where they have no business in actually being there, in the hopes that we won't notice that we are actually being replaced. That's what this is all about. It's about replacing white people in every field. I mean, this isn't just going on the television. They're saying this about companies. They're saying this about the police everywhere. In fact, I think there was a directive a while back saying that everybody has to promote diversity. And this is one of the reasons that's been given for sacking people with right-wing views, because it had this drive to increase diversity and be anti-racist. It's now a part of law that all these companies have to be seen to be doing something to combat anti-racism, which is, of course, as we know, it just means being anti-white. You know, calling somebody a racist just means that they're a white person that is standing up for white people. Apparently, other races can't actually be racist. Never mind the fact that absolutely everybody is racist. Everybody prefers the company of their own kind. That's just natural. Babies are born like that. They feel more comfortable when they're with their own kind. And this transcends gender as well. Babies feel more comfortable with a male and a female of their own gender rather than a female of another gender. And of course, when you think babies, they're very close to their mothers. It's the mother that they get their milk from. It's the mother that they rely upon. Yet they are not going to be interested in a black female. They would rather have a white male, even though they can't get any milk from a white male. So it's actually deeply ingrained in people to be racist, to prefer their own kind, because that's what racism means. It means that you prefer your own kind. You discriminate between people. You discriminate and you prefer your own flesh and blood, which is just common sense. It's like saying, I do like my own family, funnily enough. I do actually prefer my family to the family up the road. I don't actually leave my front door open and allow everyone else's family to come into my home and make themselves at home and take all my food out of the fridge. And that's what's going on in the country. We've just opened up the borders, just the same as opening up the front door, and we've invited everybody in to just come in and take whatever they like. And getting back to this article. If your audiences have broadened expectations of what they would like to see with regards to representation and lives they can access, and you're not offering them that, you will be increasingly less relevant, she claimed. So it's the audiences that are demanding this. Is it really? Is it really the 85% of the audience that is white that is demanding to see more niggers on the television? I think most white people are actually sick to the back teeth of seeing Negroes shoehorned into everything that they see on the television. We don't want to see them in period dramas. We don't want to see them sleeping with white women. We're fed up of seeing them on these adverts. Just about every advertisement that you see on the television now is promoting miscegenation. It is not the audience that are demanding to see more diversity. It is these paid diversity promoters. Ofcom's Diversity and Equal Opportunities in Television. I mean, just the title of that, Diversity and Equal Opportunities in Television. And that just shows you that it's them that are pushing this, not the people. It isn't that a load of white people have written in and said we're desperate to see more blacks and homosexuals on the television. It's this specific department that is demanding that, Ofcom's Diversity and Equal Opportunities Department. Well, they published a report on Thursday, a year after the watchdog ordered broadcasters to make a serious effort to monitor and record workers' quote protected characteristics, unquote, in order to identify underrepresented groups and help tackle a lack of diversity in UK television. Protected characteristics. Well, what does that mean? Can we protect the characteristic of being able to blush, the characteristic of being able to show blood in the face? I would say that was a pretty important characteristic that needed protecting that actually isn't the characteristic of being white. No, apparently it's a protected characteristic to be a person of one colour. I mean, just that phrase itself, people of colour, makes me makes me mad, because they're not, are they? It's only white people that are actually colourful. The people of colour are all just people of one colour. White people, we have, when you think about it, you know, we use red, white and blue quite a lot, and that's actually the colours of the white man. The red cheeks, white hair, and the blue eyes. And occasionally we have green eyes and we have honey eyes, and the hair can also be red. It can be honey, it can be chestnut blonde, it can be blonde. We can show rosy cheeks. We are the ones that actually show colour. We are the people of colour. And yet we have to use this nonsense phrase to describe blacks, people of colour. They're not. They're people of one colour. That's all they are. Just one dreary, dirt brown colour. And that's what they want to make the whole world. They want to make the whole world that colour. Never mind the fact that whites have gone from being 35% of the world's population to being 8% of the world's population since the World War. Oh no, we're supposed to celebrate that fact, and we're supposed to accelerate it. Not just celebrate it, we're supposed to accelerate it. As it says here, we have to drive to do more. We have to replace even more white people. We're not doing enough. We're just not doing enough. Well, according to this report, while there was a data gap of 41% with regards to sexuality, the audit found 4% of people working in the TV industry identified as lesbian, gay or bisexual, compared to 2% of the general population. So there's twice as many lesbian, gay or bisexuals working right the way across the TV industry than there actually are in the general population. While 49% of employees said they were heterosexual. And that's compared to 93% of the population. 93% of the population, they claim, are heterosexual. I would say 98%. And yet only 49% of the employees actually are heterosexual. So there's a massive discrepancy there. The TV companies are already massively pushing homosexuality onto everybody and insisting that they only employ homosexuals. And yet here we've got Ofcom demanding that they actually take on more. Despite the apparent significant underrepresentation of heterosexuals in the figures, Ofcom recommended broadcasters improve the career progression of sexual minorities and hire more lesbians. And that's among a number of other recommendations. And of course, the BBC demanded that there should be more lesbians employed by the BBC, and they actually discovered that there was a massive amount of transsexuals in the BBC, something like 500 transsexuals out of about 22,000 people that work for the BBC, 500 transsexuals working at the BBC. That's a lot more than their percentage of the population. And what did the BBC say? Well, we need to do more to make them feel comfortable. Not, well, we need to have less transsexuals and more normal people. No, we need to put more transsexuals in things and hire more lesbians. And now we've got Ofcom saying the same. It also took issue with official government data on the proportion of LGBT people in Britain, declaring 2% to be too low, and directing readers to a survey that claimed sexual minorities make up 6.5% of the population. How can there be a discrepancy like that? It's always been about 1 or 2% that are actually homosexual, and they keep pushing these figures up. It's like with the transsexuals, they keep pushing the figures up. And if those figures are actually going up like that, it's because people are being propagandized into it. People are being encouraged to do these things. People are being encouraged to experiment with their own sex, and then they feel absolutely suicidal after doing so, and some of them do kill themselves, and then of course they say, oh, it was persecution that made them kill themselves. No, it was guilt, because they knew that what they had done was so wrong. Never mind the fact that the BBC tells them to celebrate it, and what a wonderful, courageous thing it is to stick your penis up another man's ass. It's not. It will make you feel guilty. It will make you want to commit suicide, and it will give you nasty diseases, and you will hate yourself. This is why these people want to push it on the rest of us. They want to make the rest of us accept it. And I do recommend listening to Dr. E. Michael Jones' work on this subject. He's fantastic at explaining the psychology that goes behind this pushing of gay pride, because they do feel guilty over it. And the more they can make the rest of us accept it, the less guilty they feel. And the way to do that is by flaunting it in front of us, forcing us to acknowledge it and then not do anything about it. It makes it seem as if it's accepted to them, and then the guilt isn't so bad for them. That's the reason for it. According to the analysis, 13% of TV industry employees are from an ethnic minority, compared to 12% of the British labour market, with the figure rising to 15% among workers at Sky, 18% at Channel 4, and 19% at Viacom. So in every single TV company, there is a higher percentage of blacks and non-whites working there than their actual percentage of the population. And yet this is still not good enough for them. And this is just proof that this is all about replacing white people. It's got nothing to do with them having the same percentage as their percentage of the population. It can't be. Why else would they be demanding that more needs to be done when they've already done more than what their actual goal was? I mean, originally we were told that they just needed to be represented at the same amount that they are in the population. And quite clearly now they're saying, no, that's not good enough. We've got to do more. White people were revealed to be underrepresented in the data, which showed that whites comprise 71% of the UK-based TV industry, compared to 88% of the wider labour market. So that's an extra 17% of whites that have already been replaced by blacks, and they're still saying, we need more. We need to replace more. However, this was not considered a problem by Ofcom, which praised efforts by all five of the main broadcasters focused on improving representation of employees from minority ethnic backgrounds. So they didn't say, well, hang on a minute, you've got a little bit too far. Actually, we need to replace 17%, that's extra 17% there of blacks, but actually we need to replace them with whites. They said, oh, no, that's great, that's fine, absolutely fine that all these white people have been replaced. Lamenting that certain ethnic groups, including Pakistanis and Bangladeshis, being significantly underrepresented in TV careers, the report urged broadcasters to develop policies which would target and tackle underrepresentation of specific ethnic groups in order to achieve a workforce which truly reflects the UK population and audience. Well, perhaps Pakistanis and Bangladeshis aren't actually that good at television. Maybe that average low IQ that they have, it doesn't really help them out that much when they're trying to work hard at television. Or working hard at television seems to be a conflict there in the two things, working hard and television. I mean, really, it's just playing, isn't it? That's what drama is. Being an actor is playing at dress up. That's all that they're actually doing. And these Pakis and Bangladeshis, they're not even any good at that. Not even any good at playing dress up. While claiming the push for greater diversity is so TV companies have a workforce which reflects modern Britain and the lives and experiences of their whole audience, the regulator says broadcasters should be aiming to have a workforce more closely matching London's population, where 36% of workers are from minority ethnic backgrounds and the demographics are not representative of the country at large. So they want to force the conditions that London is in on the rest of the country. That's what this boils down to. I mean, everyone that doesn't live in London thinks that the place is a hellhole. They think it's absolutely dreadful there. The knife crime, the murders, the grooming gangs, the drugs. It's an absolute nightmare of a place to be. And they're not just happy with that happening in London. They want that to happen in the whole of the rest of the country. They want people to be expecting it to come. They want people to think it's quite natural to see 40% of the people around you being non-white. And it's actually more than that. It's 40% of people in London are white, and 60% are non-white, or foreign, that is, rather. There's also probably a lot of Europeans there. It's actually 40% white British and 60% foreign that are in London. So what Ofcom are trying to do here is to ease people into that world, basically. They want people to see that on the television so that when it happens around them, and when their town suddenly becomes 40% non-white, they want people to not think anything about it. They don't want people to be shocked by it because it's what they've already been seen happening on the television. That's what this is about. It's about preventing people from standing up and saying, this is wrong, we don't want this. We don't want to be replaced. Vicky Cook, Ofcom Director of Standards and Audience Protection, said, we're encouraged that major broadcasters understand the need to attract people who may not feel they can make a career in TV. This is in broadcasters' interests, because it helps them make programmes that reflect the whole of the UK. How can it be in broadcasters' interests to be trying to attract people who have no skills that are usable for TV? How can it be in their interest to be attracting people that don't actually have the qualities that are required, that don't actually meet up to the standards? If they met up to the standards, they would be applying for the jobs that are there in the TV anyway. I mean, everybody sees this big drive for diversity everywhere. Surely black and minority ethnics are all going to be applying to get on the TV because they know that there's quotas there. There's quotas that need to be filled, so they don't actually have to have the qualifications. They just need, in fact, the only qualification is that they're black or homosexual. That's all that's needed to get a job in television nowadays. Our report shows how far there is to go. We expect broadcasters to build on the momentum of the last year and to keep improving their monitoring and staff diversity in the coming months. So, instead of saying, well, actually, they've gone too far, apparently the report is saying, well, there's lots more to go. That there are still white people left in television that need replacing. That's what this is about. White genocide. That's all there is to it. Okay, well, we've reached the end of the first half here, so it's time for a music break since I'm here on my own today. And this is a new track. I've never heard of this band before. Somebody sent me a message over the weekend linking me to it. I think it's a really great track. It's by a band called Darkest Sky. Apparently the guy has a Patreon account and he'll be releasing an album soon. It's not fash wave. It's not heavy metal. It's more sort of folky sort of style. And the track is called Runes Above the Sea. I'll be back in 3 minutes and I hope you enjoy it.
Looking back at a better age when we were young, the apples of immortality in the golden sun. Now we're lost in the fields of frost of a bitter age. A man stands by his father's land and feels the rage. Runes above the sea, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Thought and memory, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Runes above the sea, reach out to your ancestors. Just build the fire. Stir in the flames, hear them call their names, just like a choir. Hold a spear, have no fear now of the mammoth task. Hyperborean June is a moon that comes at dusk. Runes above the sea, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Thought and memory, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Runes above the sea, your have to fight your last of your kind. You'll live again. Reversing the curse when the waters burst like tears of pain. The torrent rushes and the deep sea crushes, but the night is mine. I sing songs of a better place, a better time. Ruins above the sea, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Thought and memory, now you know the law. No more brother wars. Ruins above the sea. Ruins above the sea. Thought and memory. Ruins above the sea. Thought and memory.
Okay, welcome back. You were just listening there to Darkest Sky, and the track was called Runes Above the Sea. You'll be able to find that by looking up Runes Above the Sea on YouTube. Okay, well, the next story I've got to now got for you now really follows on from something we saw happen a couple of weeks back. You probably remember it was in the news. Jacob Rees-Mogg was coming home with his family one day when he was attacked by left-wing anarchists, Antifa, whatever you want to call them, and they were basically abusing his children. They were abusing his children and saying, your father's a very nasty man and everybody hates your father. Really, really horrible things to say to these kids. And they even had a go at his nanny. Now, I think it's really great that his nanny was actually the nanny of him, Jacob Rees-Mogg, and is also the nanny of his children. That's wonderful. That must be really great for those kids to know that they're being brought up by the same person that brought their father up. She's obviously very, very close to the family. And, you know, I think his family is a perfect example of how the aristocracy should be. That's how the upper classes should be. And this anarchist, this foul-mouthed anarchist, apparently his father was a banker as well. And you compare the two of them, the one that bullies children and the other one that stands up for the rights of children not to be murdered in the wombs by their mother. And there really is no comparison. But this idea that it's fair game to go after the children of right-wing politicians or right-wing activists is absolutely disgusting. You know, the left really don't seem to have any standards or morality left whatsoever. You know, it's like punching somebody below the belt. And the left think that is perfectly acceptable to do things like that because at all costs they must stop patriots or the right wing from having their say. It's absolutely ludicrous, and I do think it actually makes them look very bad in the eyes of the general public. But this doesn't just go on outside Jacob Rees-Mogg's house. This is going on in schools up and down the country. Children of right-wing politicians are being bullied by teachers. Bullied by the teachers. Children are being bullied by the teachers and ostracised by classmates because trade unions have an iron grip on schools, it is claimed. Now, I'm not so certain it's because trade unions have an iron grip on schools. I think it's to do with all these left-wing teachers. I know some people that they're very right-wing, they're nationalists, and they used to be teachers. So years ago, it was possible to be a patriot and also be a teacher, but it seems that they've pushed out all the patriotic people nowadays in the schools. You might still get some patriotic teachers in the schools where you have to pay fees for your children to go there, but the public ones, they're all leftists. Katie Hopkins was going to do a tour of schools, and it was the children in her audience that had actually booked her to go to these schools, and these schools were told they would be shut down if they had Katie Hopkins speaking there. Apparently she has still spoken at some private schools, but it's really the kids in the public schools that need to hear what we're saying. I mean, they've got no future. They know that their future has been stolen from them. They think that the only alternative are the left-wing anarchists, and they haven't heard the nationalist alternative, the centrist alternative that actually conforms with natural law. And this is because the left have taken over the schools, the same as they did a slow march through the institutions and took over all the institutions. They've taken over the education system and they've taken over the schools. And it's not just that they're not allowing nationalist speakers in. They are actually bullying the children if their parents have been identified as supporting nationalist politics. Now, you'll probably recall a couple of years back, there was somebody who was a member of UKIP, and the social services took his children away because he was a member of UKIP, because UKIP are apparently a far-right extremist organisation. Never mind the fact that they beat all the other political parties at the European Union polls a couple of years back. They were a far-right extremist party, according to the social services. So actually, these right-wing politicians here whose kids are being bullied by teachers, they're fairly lucky that those kids haven't been taken off them. I guess they wouldn't dare to actually do that to the child of a Tory politician, but they certainly have done it to UKIP members and probably members of the English Defence League or members of the BNP. They probably attempted to take their children away from them as well. This is what's going on. Children of right-wing politicians are being bullied by teachers and ostracised by classmates because trade unions have an iron grip on schools, it is claimed. It has strengthened calls for more free schools to stop youngsters being drip-fed socialist views in the classroom. The situation was underlined last week when Welsh teaching assistant Sian Rickard told the Labour conference in Liverpool that if children got a proper education, the country won't have any Tories. And he received rapturous applause for that. So they're being quite open about it, that the left want to brainwash all the children. That's what they mean by saying if they get a proper education. What they mean by proper education is if they cut out anything to do with nationalism, patriotism, if they lie to the children and tell them that they're all a nation of immigrants and the country has always been 40% black and it's perfectly fine to miscegenate with Negroes and it's perfectly fine to have homosexual activity and mutilate yourselves, and a boy can just turn into a girl just by thinking that he's a girl the next day. If, as long as the children are taught all of that, everything will be fine. We won't have any more Tories. Everyone will vote Labour. And this is exactly what cultural Marxism is all about. This is what the Frankfurt School were all about doing. They got themselves into the universities. They brainwashed all the students in the universities so that they didn't actually know the truth and hated their own history, hated their own achievements. I mean, we hate our own achievements here in Britain. We're not proud of the British Empire. We should be really proud of our achievements, what our ancestors did. But we've been taught to feel guilt about that. I mean, we've been taught to feel guilt about African slavery when it was the English that did away with African slavery. We're the ones that stopped the slavery of Negroes, which still goes on right the way across Africa. And yet we're the ones made to feel guilty about it. And the Labour Party, that's what they want to turn out. They want to turn out white people that hate themselves, and they want to encourage Negroes, put Negroes into all the institutions and into the universities without the Negroes actually having to pass the exams to get in there. I mean, the Labour Party are already saying that white people have to pay double the entrance fee to actually go in to see them. They're actually held up on that. They're actually held to account by the law, and they had to change it, where they were saying if you're black or minority ethnic, then you'll get 25% off the entrance price. Would there be anywhere in the country that said if you're black or minority ethnic, you're going to have to pay 25% more than what white people have to pay? There'd be an absolute uproar about it. Yet the Labour Party thought that was quite fine to do. Now, after this happened, after this Welsh teaching assistant, I'm embarrassed to say that they were Welsh, but after this teaching assistant said that, Tory and UKIP politicians revealed what had been going on with their children at school. One MP said, "My young son was introduced to his class as the child of a Conservative MP by his teacher." Now, years ago, that would have meant, they would have probably clapped the kid for having such an important father. But they then went on to tell his classmates not to speak to him. Can you imagine that? A teacher saying, "This kid's father is right wing, so don't speak to him." And this is the sort of thing that you expect kids to do at school, to say, "Well, don't speak to him, he's got the lurgy." But you certainly don't expect teachers to do that. Apparently the head teacher apologised, but the damage had been done. This poor child, obviously this Conservative MP, I mean, he's obviously braving it by sending his kid to a public school, by sending him to one of the normal schools that the hoi polloi go to. So he's obviously a pretty good one. He's not saying, "Well, we're going to mess up all the secondary schools and send our own kids to private schools," which is what the Conservative MPs get accused of doing, and the Labour MPs. This one actually sent his kid to a normal comprehensive, and that was the response to it. The teacher saying, "Don't speak to this child." A former UKIP activist recalled his son was given detention for questioning his teacher's political views. He said, "My son's teachers said the right wing do dreadful things while the left wing takes people's money and do nice things with it. My son put his hand up and asked, 'What happens when you run out of other people's money?' The teacher paused for 10 seconds and then gave him a detention." And this is so childish, isn't it? The left wing, they are like children that have never actually grown up. He gave another example from a history class at the same South London comprehensive. It was supposed to be a double lesson about the Vikings and the Saxons, but little history was taught in it. Within 5 minutes, it turned into a lesson of, "We're all migrants. Migration is a very good thing." She then put a picture of Nigel Farage on the board, used the word "Brex shit," and said, "Those who oppose migrants like this man are liars." She turned to the class, which is particularly ethnically diverse, and said, "This man's father wants to deport you all. Don't speak to him." He added, "As you can imagine, it's been very traumatic for my son, though he has found ways to make friends again." Well, there's lots there that we can look at, isn't there? A lesson about the Vikings and the Saxons, and they often bring this up to try and say that we are a nation of immigrants, because there's been Romans, Vikings, Saxons and Normans that came to Britain, but they each one came as an invading force, none of them in the numbers that the invading force is now, and the invading force were our own racial brothers. They were all white. They just spoke a different language. That was all. Even the customs were very similar. It wasn't like these invaders were coming here from Africa, an entirely different subspecies to us, that if they interbreed with us will destroy that bloodline forevermore, destroy the ethnic integrity of the nation. And when the Vikings and the Saxons and the Normans came over, they brought well-needed genetic diversity, genetic diversity within the race. It's not a good genetic diversity to be interbreeding with other races. It's good genetic diversity to be breeding with people of the same race, but from different areas. This is why we have this idea of the tall, dark, handsome stranger. It doesn't mean a tall Negro. It means somebody of your own race that's from a different area. Because that's good for genetic diversity. This is why we like things that look slightly different. This is why we are supposed to be welcoming to strangers, because we're supposed to welcome strangers of our own race, not strangers of another race. Interbreeding with strangers of another race will completely destroy what's left of the white race. And teachers are supposed to be apolitical. This teacher there is insulting Nigel Farage and is saying he wants to deport all the Negroes. And what this teacher is trying to do there is the same as what Antifa do. They try to identify people, dox people, so that they will then be attacked by others. And that's exactly what this teacher has done. She's identified this young boy to all the Negroes in the school and said his father wants to deport you all. Never mind the fact that he's not responsible for what his father says. And this is the guy's son. This should be completely off limits. Most children go through a rebellious age when they grow up and they're not actually very much like their parents at all when they're teenagers. And then they gradually become like them. But so who's to say that this kid actually had the same beliefs as his father? And you should be free to have whatever beliefs you want. And so what if the man's father wants to deport them all? That's his business. It's none of the teacher's business to be saying this to the school. It's been deliberately done to hurt that child. Been deliberately done to intimidate and hurt a child. That's the new lows that the left are stooping to. Last year, Tory MP Bob Stewart revealed that his four children had all been bullied at their schools in Beckenham, South East London. Such behaviour is taken to a new level when during the last election, a teacher tells the class of my 13-year-old boy that nobody should talk to him because he is the son of a Conservative MP. So this is going on quite a lot, obviously. These teachers are trying to ostracise these kids at school and make it so that nobody speaks to them. How low can you get? Toby Young, founder in 2011 of Britain's first free school, warned pupils would continue to be exposed to left-wing brainwashing until unions ceased to hold sway over the teaching profession. The hard-left social justice ideology that has captured our universities is now spreading to schools as teachers training there take it into the classroom, he said. One solution is to hire teachers who don't carry the socialist stamp of approval and union membership. Another is to release schools from the iron grip of local education authorities. But how are you going to do that when the headmasters and the headmistresses of these schools are all commissars and fully paid up members of the Communist Party? They're only going to employ teachers that are left wing. This is the problem. This is the same with the homosexual mafia. Once you allow homosexuals in, they will insist that only other homosexuals get in. And again, we can see this with the percentage of homosexuals that are in government now. It's absolutely massive, far beyond the 2% that they actually make up of the population. They will give jobs to other homosexuals. It's the same with Freemasons. Freemasons will give all the jobs and the good positions to other Freemasons. And you've got the same with this left-wing ideology. When you've got these Marxist headmistresses, they are going to insist that, they're not going to want to employ anybody that has anything to do with right-wing politics. And they've already said that if anybody is a member of the BNP, they won't employ them. This is discrimination against the right-wing, the very same discrimination that we are told we shouldn't be using against these other races. It really is the pot calling the kettle black here. Shadow Education Minister Angela Rayner last week announced that Labour wanted to end free schools and academies and non-qualified teacher status. Young said Labour is concerned that free schools and academies have too much autonomy and aren't subject to enough political control. What she means, she doesn't mean, well, she's being quite obvious there, isn't she? They're not subject to enough political control. She means that they're not all leftists at these free schools, and she thinks they should be. She thinks that children should be forced to go along with the left-wing progressive agenda. She said, unqualified teachers are those who don't have formal QTS credentials. They could be academics or even foreign teachers. They are less likely to belong to a trade union, however. Well, maybe these trade unions do have something to do with it. I think it's more to do with, you know, these kids obviously being ostracized at school, and people are being told not to speak to them. And if you're a right-wing person that's training to be a teacher and you go into any of these universities, again, if you make your politics known, you're going to be hounded out of that university. Look at what happened to Alex Davies. As soon as the university found out that he was a nationalist, he was kicked out of the university. And this has happened to lots of people. I believe it happened to Jack Renshaw as well. It's happened to all sorts of people. Once it's been discovered at the university that they're nationalists or they have right-wing views, they've been kicked out of the university. Even though they paid this money now to actually go there, they've been kicked out just because of their political views. It's a witch hunt of anyone that has nationalist views. Well, let's move on to the final news story that I've got here. And this is written by Owen Jones. Now, for those of you who are unaware who Owen Jones is, he's this horrible little runt, little urchin that claims to speak for the working class. He's a big fan of Jeremy Corbyn and Labour. And I don't think anybody from the working class, you know, actually has any liking for him whatsoever. He's also homosexual, and he really likes to be dishonest about the right wing. In fact, all the left like to be dishonest about the right wing. All you have to do is go and have a look at that Hope Not Hate site to see the lies that they put out about people. But Owen Jones is often given a platform on the BBC, and this actually comes from The Guardian. This is written by him. When the history of the far-right revival is written, the judgment cast on the British media will be deservedly brutal. This is because he thinks that the British media is somehow friendly to nationalists. Last night, it was the turn of Sky News to play what could be called the game of clever bastards. A self-satisfied media elite justifies providing the far right with a platform on the basis that they will expose and therefore discredit Islamophobic bigots because they are such clever bastards. Well, hang on a minute. Shouldn't the media actually be providing all groups across the political spectrum with a platform? Shouldn't they be part of their manifesto to provide both the far left and the far right with a platform? Isn't this country supposed to be built on free speech and democracy? Surely if you have a democracy, that means that everybody has their voice heard. Or representatives. Everybody has a nominated representative who speaks for them. And yet Owen Jones thinks that the percentage of the population that have nationalist views, we should not even be given a platform to speak. We should not even be interviewed. People suggest here that somebody's been arrested and we shouldn't actually hear what it is that they've actually had to say. Continuing, yesterday Sky interviewed career criminal and football hooligan Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson is not a career criminal. The man is not a burglar or a drug dealer or a gangster. His money doesn't come from career crime, does it? His money comes from hard work. He was a plumber and he owned tanning salons. He certainly didn't make his money from burglaries, which is what Owen Jones is implying here. He says, football hooligan Tommy Robinson, a man who has been convicted of offences ranging from assault to fraud. Let me stun you by revealing that no, the ultimate takedown of Tommy Robinson did not take place. Robinson did have the opportunity to post the full unedited interview on his Facebook page, though. Sky News has provided him with a copy to go viral on social media, presenting himself again as a courageous anti-establishment martyr. Well, what happened was, Sky did lie about Tommy Robinson. They did chop that interview up. There was an hour and 15 minutes that Tommy Robinson did interview with Sky, and his cousin filmed it. Sky obviously didn't film it. His cousin surreptitiously filmed it, so there was a record of it. And the guy that was interviewing him cut the questions to make it seem like Tommy Robinson was saying the opposite of what he actually was saying. And yet, and Owen Jones is covering this up and trying to make out that he was given a platform for his beliefs. He certainly wasn't. The Sky interview was a stitch-up, and Tommy Robinson has said that he's actually going to be suing Sky for it. And yet Owen Jones thinks that this was somehow helpful to him, that this Sky interview was actually positive for him. Continuing here, but all ideas must be freely debated, goes the glib liberal response. So he doesn't agree that all ideas must be freely debated. So let this be put bluntly. The far right is not a legitimate political perspective. No? Well, don't we have legitimate political parties like the British National Party, the National Front, UKIP, For Britain? Don't we, our political perspective, it isn't legitimate, it is entirely legal and legitimate. We want our country back. He says bigotry is not a legitimate political perspective. And this is just unbelievable, because he is the bigot. He is the one that is saying our views cannot be heard. We must not be given a platform. That's what bigotry is. Bigotry is refusing to hear another person's point of view. And he is campaigning or calling for our point of view to be completely silenced. There is nothing more bigoted than that. He is the bigot here. And yet he is saying that the right wing is bigotry. It's not a legitimate political perspective. His idea of shutting down what other people say because he doesn't agree with it, that's the illegitimate political perspective. That's what is illegitimate, is Owen Jones. These are irrational forms of hatred, he says, that categorise certain human beings as inferior and as dangerous based on their race or religious creed. It's irrational, is it? It's irrational to look at the average IQ of races. Is it irrational to look at the incarceration rates of Negroes? Is it irrational to look at the amount of, or the percentage of them in the prisons, or the amount of violent crimes that they're actually charged with? This isn't irrational. This is sensible. This is reality, to look at the amount of crimes that they carry out. He says, by providing the far right with a platform, you instantly provide them with legitimacy and respectability. We are respectable, Owen Jones, and we are legitimate. We are British citizens who want our country back. We don't like being replaced by non-whites. We don't think it's right that there are calls to constantly promote diversity and white genocide in the media. We don't think it's right that there are laws in place to prevent us actually speaking the truth. And this was the amazing thing about this Tommy Robinson interview. Tommy was just repeating facts. In actual fact, he was repeating facts that the Home Secretary has said, that the overwhelming majority of these grooming gangs are of Pakistani heritage. Tommy Robinson repeated that, and the guy interviewing him was telling him it was hate speech and that he could be locked up for it. And all he was doing was repeating exactly the same words that the Home Secretary has said. And yet, according to Owen Jones, that's illegitimate. That's irrational. It's an irrational form of hatred to want to protect white women from being raped. He says their hatred simply becomes just another political belief, like whether we should nationalise the railways or cut taxes to the rich. They become that bloke off the telly. Well, Tommy Robinson is that bloke off the telly, Owen Jones. He's probably, he's obviously more famous than you, and he's obviously got more followers than you. But this idea that it's hatred, it's not hatred, it's love for your own people. It's not hatred of these other races. It's not hatred of other religions. It's hatred of what's being done to our people. I don't hate Negroes, non-whites and Muslims. I just don't want them in my country. I don't want any more white women to be raped by them. I don't want any more white men to be murdered by them. I don't want any more kids to be groomed by them and sold into sex slavery. I don't want white people to be replaced by non-whites. I wish they would just go back to their own countries and do whatever it is that they want to do there. They can kill themselves to their heart's desires back in their own countries. But I don't want it here. That doesn't mean I hate them. It means that I love my people and I love my country. Continuing, he says, if we are to debate any old idea that happens to have a following, well, it's not just any old idea, is it? Nationalism is not just any old idea. It's been around for centuries now, and the countries that are nationalists have the greatest approval rating. Look at Viktor Orban. Over 50% he just won in his last election because he has a protectionist nationalist policy. Look at Donald Trump, who just won the election in America with a protectionist, civic, nationalist policy. This isn't any old idea that happens to have a following. This is something that has more of a following than Owen Jones does. He says, why aren't we holding primetime debates over whether the universe came into existence less than 10,000 years ago, or whether the Earth is indeed flat? Well, I would have no objection to that going on anyway. Those things are so easily disproved, then what's the problem? His problem is that our points are not easily disproved because they're based on fact. That's the point. He says the obvious response is that it dignifies the utterly irrational with ill-deserved respect, but at least the circulation of flat earth nonsense does not threaten lies. It doesn't threaten lies to be pointing out the truth, does it? What is threatening lives in this country is people like Owen Jones trying to silence the people that are pointing out what is threatening our lives. The threat to white lies in London alone is massive when you think about how many have been killed by Negroes. That's the threat to lives. The right wing isn't a threat to anyone. We're not a threat to anyone's life. We just want to deport these people. We want to send them back to where they came from. Surely they should be happy to be going back home. Why don't they want to return home? Why is it these people don't want to return home? Could it possibly be because they've done horrible, nasty things back at home? I mean, that's what they keep saying, isn't it? When we try to deport them, they say, oh, we can't possibly go back home because they'll kill us. Well, why would they want to do that then? You must have actually done something in the first place to upset them. He says, Robinson's hatred is radicalizing terrorists in this country. This is a fact. Last year, Islamophobic terrorist Darren Osborne ploughed his van into Muslim worshippers outside a mosque in London. According to the former Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, Osborne had been radicalized by large amounts of online far-right material, including, as evidenced at court, statements from former EDL leader Tommy Robinson, Britain First, and others. But that isn't what Darren Osborne said, is it? Darren Osborne left a letter saying that he had been watching a BBC documentary called Four Girls about the grooming gangs, and he was also upset at a bomb going off in the Manchester Arena and maiming 100 children. That's what upset Darren Osborne, not what Tommy Robinson said. And this is the lie that's being put across by the former Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police, who has tried to draw an equivalency between Tommy Robinson and these jihadis that blow themselves up. There is no equivalency. He says, indeed, such statements by this jumped-up thug include a video in which he yells, every single Muslim watching this on 7/7, you got away with killing and maiming British citizens. The Islamic community will feel the full force of the English Defence League if we see any of our British citizens killed, maimed or hurt on Britain's soil ever again. Well, the English Defence League were a pressure group. He wasn't saying that they were going to be violent against them. By saying the full force of the English Defence League meant that there were going to be lots of protests. He says, Robinson himself responded on Twitter to the Finsbury Park terrorist incident by describing it as a revenge attack, which it was, accusing the mosque of having a long history of creating terrorists and radical jihadis and promoting hate and segregation. Giving a platform to this dangerous bigot is playing chicken with other people's lives. Everything Tommy said there is true. In fact, the head of the mosque has just recently been found out for promoting terrorism. So everything that Tommy said there was true. And this Owen Jones just wants to silence him. Again, he's calling him a bigot when he's the bigot for trying to silence him. One senior Sky News journalist responded to the controversy thusly. Some will argue Tommy Robinson shouldn't be given a platform, but he already has a platform on social media. What contorted logic. So therefore, his platform should be further extended and legitimised. Does it not occur to broadcasters, as they host fascism, that every time the media provide him with a platform, his Facebook account accrues more followers? Well, Owen, the news has to actually report the news. I mean, Tommy Robinson is a celebrity, and people want to hear what he has to say. Just because you don't want to hear what he has to say doesn't mean that he should be silenced. This is the thing. we don't say all the left should be silenced. We don't say Owen Jones should be silenced. What a bigot. He shouldn't be allowed a voice. We say we'd quite like to debate you, Mr. Jones. Why don't you debate Tommy Robinson? Why? What is it you're so scared of? Why is it you want to deplatform the guy? Why won't you debate him? I would love to see a debate between Tommy Robinson and Owen Jones. This Jones guy is just an absolute coward by calling for Tommy to be silenced. Finishing off here. The British media are not going to defeat the far right. They will continue to give a platform to them and legitimise their leading figures. Try telling that to Jez Turner. When was he ever given a platform in the mainstream media? When have any of our nationalists been given a platform? It's in the journalists' guidelines not to give us a platform. The only time they're allowed to put us on the television or in the newspapers is if they're going to ridicule us. And they're going to mock what we say or try to demolish what we say. So they don't actually give us a platform at all. And Sky weren't giving Tommy Robinson a platform. Tommy is going to be taking them to court for the mischaracterization they did in that interview, which just proves that this is completely, completely wrong. Owen Jones is the bigot here. Wanting to silence Tommy Robinson instead of debate him, that is bigotry. That is the express description of bigotry. He says the press in particular will keep feeding them by spreading hatred and lies about Muslims, migrants and refugees. Was it lies then, these Muslim rape gangs that we heard about? It's the press that are covering this up. It's the press that are refusing to report on the court cases that are going on. This is why Tommy Robinson has been jailed, is because he dared to report on the Muslim rape gang court cases, because the press aren't doing it. That's why Tommy Robinson has support, is because he's doing what the mainstream press refused to do. And now that the mainstream press are forced to interview Tommy, he doesn't like it. Owen Jones doesn't like it. Well, go and debate him then. That's all he needs to do. Go and debate Tommy. Calling for silencing of the far right is just cowardice. He says the far right will not be debated out of existence. It will be defeated not by the media's clever bastards, but by a left that offers hope and combats racism and bigotry without apology. So maybe that he's actually admitting it there. He would lose in a debate. That's what he means. The left will lose in a debate. That's why they want to see us silenced. And it offers hope. So they offer hope by shutting down venues and threatening violence and blackmail to try and silence people. That offers hope, does it? They're the ones that encourage racism. He's the guy that is encouraging racism. He's encouraging racism against whites. And it's his bigotry that's there without an apology. And he is so blind to his own actions, he can't even see that he is the bigot in this. Owen Jones is the bigot, not Tommy Robinson. Anyway, we've gone a little bit over time here. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that we do require your donations to keep the website going, and there is a Bitcoin wallet at the bottom of every article. If you have difficulties with changing some money up into Bitcoin to send it to us, then you can always drop by in the chat room or leave a comment at any of our articles. I'll be quite happy to explain to you how you can donate to us with Bitcoin. I will be back next Monday, hopefully with Max Musson. And of course, I do hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
You are listening to Radio Area, for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.